I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We commemorate World AIDS Day today. The UN estimates that more than 33 million people are currently infected with HIV/AIDS. We'll speak with one of them about the stigma still attached to people who carry the virus. That conversation is a little later. But first, to our Show Me the Recovery series. This week, we've been taking a look at the question of how to get the American economy rolling again. Tomorrow, we'll get personal. We'll talk with our regular personal finance contributors on steps we could all be taking right now. Earlier this week, we talked with one of the architects of the Obama administration stimulus plan who says that we actually need more government spending right now, not less, and the deficit, while important, can wait. Today, we get the opposite view.
We suffer from a fiscal cancer. It is growing within us. And if we do not treat it, it could have catastrophic consequences for our country.
That's David Walker. He's the former head of the Government Accountability Office, often called the nation's auditor-in-chief, and you heard him featured in the 2008 documentary IOUSA. He runs the Comeback America Initiative now, and he joins us from our studios in New York. And I should mention that the full report is being unveiled today, but the full commission isn't expected to vote until Friday. And David Walker, thanks so much for joining us.
Michelle, it's great to be with you.
Now, you heard me say that earlier this week we've been evaluating different perspectives about the steps that the government needs to take right now. Now, I think there's pretty universal agreement that this structural deficit approaching $14 trillion is a huge problem. But a number of the people we've heard from earlier in the week say it's a huge problem, but it's not today's problem. Today's problem is jobs, and that the perspective that some people have is that the thing that needs to happen right now is to, first of all, extend unemployment benefits, and second of all, put more government spending into the hopper right now. The deficit can wait. What's your answer to that?
My view is we need to take actions to deal with both. There's a fundamental difference between the short-term problem and the structural problem. It's true that we need to take more steps in order to try to be able to get the economy moving, to avoid a double-dip recession, and to get unemployment down. And that can include taking some steps that might end up exacerbating the deficit problem in the short term. And that can be acceptable if it's properly designed and effectively implemented, because that's not the real threat. At the same time, we have to have a plan and begin to start implementing the plan to deal with the true threat to this country. And that is the deficits that will exist after the economy's recovered, after unemployment's down, after the wars are over, and long after the crises have passed. Because it threatens the literal future of this country, its position in the world, and our standard of living at home.
Can you explain that to people who just, particularly to people who are struggling themselves right now, and just say, well, what is this? I mean, it just, what's so terrible about kicking the can down? Or could you just make it vivid for people who don't understand why this is a big deal?
Well, let's take some statistics that will help people understand. The real key is how much debt do we have as a percentage of the economy, the debt to GDP? Today, it's over 60%, only the second time in the history of the United States. If you count what we owe Social Security and Medicare, which you should, it's over 90%. In both cases, growing rapidly. If you look at the report by the International Monetary Fund and you compare the U.S. to other European nations on an apples-to-apples basis, we're already worse than Ireland, United Kingdom, Spain, and Portugal. We're within 10 years of being where Greece was when they had a crisis. And frankly, when you count Social Security and Medicare, within 3 years of being where they were. The facts are clear. The numbers are compelling. Yes, we need to do what we have to in the short term, but we have to have a plan and begin to implement that plan in a responsible manner, or else we're going to have a much bigger problem with regard to the economy and unemployment in the future.
Yesterday, we spoke to the former chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, Christina Romer, and she said that the deficit's important, but she said this is not the time to make that our focus. Here's what she had to say.
It's not the right time to be actually doing the fiscal contraction that will be called for to get the deficit under control. We are still in the middle of a terrible recession, and for dealing with that, we're probably going to need to do more, spend more money, perhaps cut more taxes to try to get jobs created again.
So what about that?
Well, first, I agree that we want to do what it takes to make sure we don't have a double-dip recession. By the way, we're not in a recession right now. We do have unacceptably high unemployment, but we're not in a recession. We have a slow economic recovery going on. Secondly, I do agree that we may have to do some additional targeted spending and that we may have to allow some of the tax cuts that were supposed to expire to be extended for a temporary period of time. But that does not mean that we shouldn't have a plan that we begin to implement to deal with the structural deficits in a manner that does not undercut economic recovery or our efforts to get unemployment down. We must have a plan. It's show me time. People are tired of promises and kicking the can down the road.
But the polls say that actually most of the public doesn't agree with that. I mean, the most recent polls taken say that most of the public says that jobs should be the priority. And the deficit in the most recent CBS and New York Times poll that I saw, only 4% of the voters said that the deficit should be the top priority.
Most of the public opinion surveys that I've seen show the economy and jobs being the number one priority, the number two priority being federal spending, escalating deficits and debt, and the American public also is concerned about our increased reliance on foreign lenders. The answer is we need to address both, and we need to do it in a responsible manner so that we can make sure that the economy recovers and we get unemployment down, but at the same point in time, have a plan that we begin to implement in an appropriate manner to deal with the real threat to our future, which are the structural deficits that will exist after the economy is recovered, after unemployment's and down, and after the crises have passed.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're speaking with the man once known as the nation's auditor-in-chief, former head of the Government Accountability Office, David Walker. He has been on a crusade to get America to face its debt problem, the huge structural deficit. He runs the Comeback America Initiative, which is focused on addressing this issue. You know, the other side of the equation here, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, who's the Republican co-chair of the Bipartisan Commission, has gotten a lot of attention for some spicy comments he's made about, you know, suggesting that Americans are basically selfish and that part of what has to happen here is that people need to look beyond their own narrow self-interest. So that's one argument. On the other side, there are a number of critics who have said that they've called this the cat food commission, claiming that this, once again, the poorest, the most vulnerable among us are the ones who are really going to suffer in this equation, even after this country has poured, hundreds of billion dollars into fighting two wars, into, the bank bailouts and so forth. And what do you say to that?
Well, there are a number of, frankly, outrageous comments that have been made, and many of which are not fact-based or misleading, if you will. My view is, look, we're going to have to reimpose tough statutory budget controls. We're going to have to reform entitlement programs in a way to make them solvent, sustainable, secure, more savings-oriented, to protect the most vulnerable. In many cases, our entitlement programs actually provide middle and upper income welfare and support in circumstances where it shouldn't, especially in Medicare's voluntary programs. In addition to that, we're going to have to end up cutting defense and other spending in ways that don't compromise our national or homeland security. That can be done. Furthermore, we're going to have to engage in comprehensive tax reform in ways that will make it simpler, fairer, more competitive, but generate more revenue because we're short now and we're going to be further. We've got to do all of those things. The left is in denial about the need to restructure entitlement programs. The right doesn't believe we need to raise taxes. They're both wrong.
You talked about some of our peer economies, particularly in Europe, like Germany, France, the United Kingdom, are already moving toward significant austerity measures. And in some of those countries, there have been demonstrations in the streets, as we've seen. Now, we haven't seen that here. We haven't seen, marches and demonstrations in the streets, probably because this is still kind of at the talking stage. But I'm curious why these countries have taken these steps sooner.
The reason that they're taking the steps before we are is because the United States has 62% of the world's global reserve currency in the form of the United States dollar, the U.S. dollar. That means that we have more rope, more time to be able to make tough choices before the markets punish us. But we don't have unlimited time, and we're not exempt from the laws of prudent finance. And if there is a crisis of confidence in the market with regard to whether or not the U.S. government is going to put its finances in order, we could face sudden dramatic increases in interest rates, in inflation levels, dramatic declines in the value of the dollar that frankly could end up causing something much worse than a recession. And if people are worried about unemployment now, it'd be nothing compared to what we could see if we have that type of crisis. We must avoid that.
Now, Mr. Walker, the final question I've been asking each of our guests this week is, most of us are not economists. How would you recommend that we evaluate the arguments that we're hearing to decide if they make sense?
Well, first, everybody is entitled to their opinion about what's the best way forward, but they're not entitled to their own facts. The National Commission, the Bipartisan Debt Reduction Task Force, the Peterson-Pugh Commission, and others have all agreed this country's financial condition is worse than advertised. We face large and growing structural deficits. They threaten our future position in the world and our future standard of living at home. Doing nothing is not an option. Everything has to be on the table. And so you need to look at the facts. You need to look at nonpartisan professionals and what they have to say, not ideologues or people who wear a strong D or R on their shoulder. In addition to that, you know, we need to have much more citizen education and engagement on this issue. But I've done it a lot myself all over the country. When people know the facts and the truth, they can handle the tough choices. And frankly, none of these commissions have had meaningful citizen education and engagement outside of Washington's Beltway. That now has to happen.
David Walker is the former head of the Government Accountability Office. He's author of the book, Come Back, America, Turning the Country Around and Restoring Fiscal Responsibility. He was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. And if you want to read some of the articles that David Walker has written about this, further explaining his views, we'll have links to them on our website. Just go to npr.org, go to the programs page of Tell Me More. Mr. Walker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle. We'll be right back.